Hey there, thanks for listening. I am thinking, how is it already in the middle of the week? A new month, September. Time is just flying. I know for me it's just been a very busy, little crazy week. So hope everybody is doing well. Thank you for taking time to join me as I'm want to go back to the life of King Hezekiah. You know, he just is just such a great king. Was such a great king that it's hard to talk about comprehensively everything in just 15 minutes. So it's just going to spill over to what I wanted to talk to you all about today. I'm excited to just jump in. So we're still in Second Chronicles talking about King Hezekiah and kind of coming from a different approach of just one king. Gonna compare and contrast King Hezekiah to King Amaziah. So, a few chapters ahead of when King Hezekiah came onto the scene, King Amaziah, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, is a good comparison and contrast to the life of King Hezekiah. So, comparison point number one, they both were 25, came onto the scenes at 25. Comparison point number two, they reigned for a long time, 29 years. Also, the last comparison point, the rest is contrast, is the Bible notes that they did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So in First and Second Chronicles, it talks about all these kings and it notes very early on when they come onto the scene if they did what was right or what was wrong. And it was noted that King Amaziah did what was right. But there's a huge but piece, chapter 25, verse 2. It says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. That is a huge contrast point to the faithfulness of King Hezekiah and thereby his legacy and his life and the people who were affected because of his sacrifice. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, in contrast, King Hezekiah, beginning in verse 20, this is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God, and everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and in the commands. He sought his God and worked wholeheartedly. So he prospered. That prospered piece, that hashtag piece, if there were hashtags back then, you see how it was ranked, how it didn't say, and so he prospered first. It listed his heart qualities first, and so he prospered at the end, which is why it's very troublesome to run after that prosperity piece and following prosperity gospels and the lies and that, because that is not what matters. That's not our anchor first. So, but this wholehearted piece, so I want to talk at it, talk from a ICU standpoint. So my family knows that I have a major tendency to go around and look at people's arms, their veins, their hands. I know I'm weird. I mean, everybody has something, but it's just what I do. I just think to myself, it'd be really easy to start an IV on this person. And I also just spill over terminology that just applies to what I've been working in ICU critical care areas for almost 14 years. So it just bleeds over into other parts of my life, right? So without getting in too much deep terminology, pathophysiology. Everybody knows a pulse. Everybody knows, well, I think you know a pulse. Pulse is your heartbeat. And talking from this wholeheartedness of Hezekiah compared or contrasted rather to King Amaziah's half-heartedness. So it just works, right? So I thought it applied. So in ICU, we're doing our assessment, and I was thinking that, is important, almost as equally important as wanting to know that you have a heartbeat, to see what that number is it too high, too low, etc. Equally important is I want to know the quality of it. how well is your, like, what does your color look like? What is your capillary refills for my healthcare providers? And also from a healthcare standpoint, I know you know that, and for those who don't know, you can have a heartbeat on the monitor, so numbers, and it's like, oh, the person is alive, and they may not be. They may be in a code blue situation. It happens in a pulseless rhythm. So that, for me, a heartbeat is not just the number. It's not just knowing that you have one. It's the quality of it. It's how well is that pulse check, you know, and is it affecting the body, or are you just, you know, not following God's purpose for your life? Are you not affecting others? Are you not walking in the calling that He has for you? So I want to talk about this pulse check, this heart assessment piece, and doing that from the comparison of these two kings. So with King Hezekiah, he followed the Lord. And as I talked about in prior, he started off from the moment he hit the scene, clearing house, putting things in order, clearing out, you know, people's lives to be turned and consecrated back to the Lord, and straightening, getting rid of sin, getting that out, and just purifying hearts, including his own. And even though King Hezekiah did go to the left for a brief moment, I mean, and it's not even judging, right? I mean, we all do. We all fall short. So if anything, I think it just makes him more real, more identifiable to, hey, this is me. I, you know, everybody can go to the left. But even though he went to the left for a moment, he humbled himself and he came back onto the scene. So the thing for me is that, what are you running after? And is God as pleased with your life as the other people who are surrounded by you? Are you just an inspiration because of what looks good? Are you only walking in alignment of the culture? Or are you, you know, like, are you going deeper? Are you what are you doing with your life that is showing that you truly have wholeheartedness to the Lord? Because it's easy to check boxes. It is so easy to just go to church, be saved. So very important, please get saved if you're not. So are you saved? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Have you truly confessed your sins and submitted your life to Him? Okay. And then after that, are you walking in sanctification? Are you walking to model Christ? Or are you just checking boxes? There again, there's that quality of that heart. Are you just going to church? Check a box. Watching Bible study? Check a box. Even leading. Maybe you're leading some small groups. Maybe you're even higher up in leading church ministries and doing all these great things. Or let's not even say that you're leading anything ministry-wise. Let's even just say you're a quote-unquote good person. You're just a good person. You are a good wife, a good mom, a good citizen. You know, you pay your taxes, you go to work, you help your neighbor, you're a good person. You're not doing any of those Hitler level sins, you know, any foolishness. You're not stealing, robbing. You're not unfaithful to your spouse. You're just a good, nice person, ethically good. But you don't go deeper than just that. You put just enough in order to look well to others, and maybe let's even take out others, maybe just even to yourself. But if you start banana peeling back deeper layers to your heart, what's there? Do you even know? Have you even sought that? I mean, that's not a feel good message. That's not a, oh, this is just, you know, rainbows and gumdrops. That's not fun to assess the wickedness in our heart, as Jeremiah talks about. And the crazy thing is, even though we want to pretend that it's, you know, whole elephant in the room, God sees it all of the time. And he is aware of it. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 So it's just kind of listen. So Hezekiah, this is, so he's got like hashtags. So hashtags of everything. Wealth, he's famous, he's the king. He has multiple houses. He has houses for his riches, for his grains. He's leading the country. The country is just doing amazing. Like anything he touches is just prospering. He is just living an amazing, thriving life. Like what would seem like, oh my goodness, I want what he has. So much so that Babylon, I'm going to read in verse 31. So actually the verse before that, it even notes he succeeded in everything he undertook. And then it goes into verse 31. But when envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon, which is a red flag because they didn't follow like Yahweh God. They were just like, oh, he looks to be doing good. Let's figure out what he's doing. But it says the rulers of Babylon to ask him about the miraculous sign that had occurred in the land. God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart. There's that heart piece. There's what God is after. So he's after his glory. And he's after our hearts. He wants to come first. He wants to be Lord of our life, not half-heartedness. He is looking to see, okay, Hezekiah, you already had went to the left. You humbled yourself. I restored you, redeemed you. And here again, boom, he reaches another test for God to just kind of microscopically look through our intentions and our heart motives. So kind of looking to see, hey, is Hezekiah going to be like, well, here's your 10-step plan. You know, here, read one of my books. I'm the CEO of the company. I'm this. And I'm not saying that to take away from any great and amazing thing that people are doing. But if all you have is your list, and if all you have are your multiple homes and all your 2 garages full of cars and all of your credentials, is that enough? Is that enough? And that's why he had to undergo yet another test, looking to make sure who is truly the Lord of Hezekiah's life. So Amaziah obviously was not following God wholeheartedly. But how is your journey with the Lord? Are you following him? Who do you identify with? And let's not make it be, you know, I mean, it doesn't need to be, let me just kind of slightly, say, yes, Lord, it's me. Like super quietly. He knows already. He's already looking at your heart. I mean, this is from the beginning of time. I mean, even when I think of the Israelites and going back to Deuteronomy 8 specifically, where God is talking about humbling and testing them in the desert, in the wilderness. And it's like they go up, then down, then up, then down, following Lord. Then they're like, we're good. Following the Lord, then we're good. So what is your pattern? Are you up when, are you with God when everything is going well? Or are you only following God in hot pursuit? Is he only the Lord when he has stripped you of everything or has allowed, maybe he didn't cause, but has allowed you to end up face plant in this valley? Then is it, okay, Lord, please help me. And then once he restores you and gets you put back on your feet, then you've got it. I'm good, God. So this is why we have to always be in constant assessment of our heart, of our motives. And you know, my shift happened almost 11 years ago, 10 years ago now, at my discipleship table with Jada Edwards, who is my spiritual mentor. She is, you know, her life is inspiring. She's an amazing, amazing woman. And, you know, I had the opportunity to be discipled by her. And I'll never forget when she had to, you know, just really help me because I was just a hot mess. And finally, it's like the Holy Spirit allowed her patience and just to click with me and have this, okay, I don't have to keep trying to earn something that God has already given me. God, even when we fall short, it's coming from a place of love. God already has. So from our standpoint, not King Hezekiah, but we're post Christ. So Christ has already died on the cross for us. he's already showed the greatest example of how he loves you that much, that he, John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He's already exemplified how much you are fully known and how much you are fully loved, as much as you may mess it up, and you will mess it up. And that, to me, coming from, I don't have to earn, I don't have to sweat, or there's nothing else I really need, because I'm not in want, as Psalm 23 talks about. He is my shepherd. He's everything for me. And where I want to leave this conversation today is just for you. I pray that this encourages you, not to judge you, but I pray that this encourages you, if you've already had that shift, to just keep at it, and to just remind you to keep having that pulse check, continue to keep having that constant conversation, asking God, God, how does my heart look? How much am I lining my life up to be following you wholeheartedly, whether I have two pennies that are rubbing together, or you are just like overflowing into my life, whether I have a lot or I have none, whether I'm up against just, you know, trial and hardship after another, or whether I'm just soaring, just coasting mountain to mountain. And Christ says in Mark 8, this was that big shift for me. In verse 34, this is Christ. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Verse 35, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. There's that wholeheartedness. Are you following Christ wholeheartedly? What is your following centered on? Who is it centered on? Whether he takes everything away, he wants us to be wholehearted. He wants us to continue to be sitting at his feet, reassessing our lives. And if he brings prosperity, then great. And if he doesn't, then it's still great, because you know that you are walking in full obedience and that you are truly giving God full glory. And others around, it may not feel like it, but others around will see how your life just looks different. So is this the declaration of your life? Is the declaration of your life to say, you know what, God, I want you. I want you to get the glory. Lord, I want you to fill my life. I want you to be the foundation of all I do. And I want you to just truly be made great. I hope this encourages you. And I hope this just pushes you to have those tough conversations in your quiet time. And I hope you have a great day.